Hi, folks. Welcome back to On Call with Insignia, where we go on call with leaders innovating the future of Southeast Asia and emerging markets across the world, as we like to call it, ASEAN Innovation. I'm your host, Paolo Aquino.
And today in this episode, we start the year 2024 with a recap of the journey of Shipper, an Indonesian technology company simplifying logistics and supply chain for all types of businesses from e-commerce to offline retail, helping them across a range of services from first mile to warehousing and inventory management. With the significant developments in Indonesia's e-commerce landscape this past year, we take a look at how this company has been maturing logistics and supply chain management in Indonesia, and it has a lot to do with the people behind this company. We start back in 2016 when Woody, a serial tech entrepreneur, returned to Indonesia from his time in Australia and spent time as an e-commerce seller.
2016, it seems to be like 5 or 6 years ago. It seems to be quite long ago. But as a matter of fact, I think we have grown so much in terms of the way logistics works. So during that time, 2015, 2016, I had problems in actually shipping my own products. I was trying to sell online. And to ship a particular product, it took me ages. I need to go to a particular logistic agent's offline stores where I need to line up because it's actually a long queue. And I believe that there was a point just like even earlier that I had to fill up the paperwork, like just a manual form. Where do I send to? Just like when you go to the bank and do deposit or withdrawal. So imagine, so that was the situation at that time. And I have to line up for about an hour before I get served. Then, yeah, not to say the travel time to go back to my house. So the whole shipping process actually takes a while. And at that time, e-commerce was still growing. It was just getting started, getting warmer. And imagine if the logistics in Indonesia, if they have to grow 10x or 20x or 100x from then, imagine what will be the logistic backlog or bottleneck for that to happen. So because of that, I believe there is a real problem here that we need to resolve on how do we make sure that all the people who actually sell online, they don't have any problems in dealing with logistics company, especially the first mile. And I'll explain later why first mile is very important as well. And then how we can actually have a single platform, because we are selling at multiple locations. How do we actually track or look at all of the orders from one single platform, which is very important as well. And that's how Shipper was started. We believe that there's actually something, we can build something meaningful here to solve all those problems.
A critical point in Shipper's growth as a company was going beyond first mile and SMEs, expanding into warehousing and serving enterprise customers and national brands.
In terms of the broad e-commerce logistics, we can see that warehousing has become quite a solution for some people because as you expect, like people grow their business in e-commerce sales where they used to fulfill from their house. And obviously when they grow, the house cannot fit. They cannot fit the products anymore. So then they have to find out a solution. So one of the solutions is actually to lease your own warehouse and actually manage everything yourself, which can be costly because while you have to focus on marketing, you gotta still operate a warehouse and normally warehouse lease or rental, you gotta pay like 4 year ahead. You gotta put in a lot of capex and also manpower and also a risk of losing items as well. And not to say the management of the fulfillment, which could take problems when you have errors. The impact is not only in money, but also in trust and level of loyalty to the customers. So second way is actually let us do it, right? We have shared warehouse, we have everything, all the systems integrated to the marketplace as well. When we receive orders, we just pick and pack that for you. And the cost is only chargeable by pieces, right, per orders. So it doesn't really cost you a lot of money to do that. Besides serving the small and medium enterprise, we also serve the larger customers, which require warehousing. And some of them, they larger business, they also have two kind of businesses. One is actually e-commerce fulfillment, which is the normal traditional e-commerce, but they also have their other fulfillment, which is B2B businesses, right? Mm. So that is also another sector that the value that we add to our customers, that they actually don't need to rent the big full warehouse for their B2B businesses. They can rent a small portion of a warehouse, share warehouse, but they can still run their B2B businesses while using our service too.
Foundational to Shipper's expansion into warehousing and serving bigger customers, as well as fundraising and scaling their engineering teams, has been the introduction of key leaders, including Phil, who became co-founder and CEO, and Marvin, who became CTO. They share how they decided to join Shipper. First, we have Phil, who came all the way from the Bay Area.
Yeah, I spent a significant time in the Bay Area. I grew up in Thailand, but moved to the Bay Area pretty early in my childhood. I finished my undergrad there at Stanford, moved on and through all the way to working at Floodgate. It was transformative in many ways. My biggest takeaway there was simply anything is possible. And to give you a little light on the Bay Area and my time there, it's an environment where it really promotes entrepreneurship and crazy ideas. There aren't many places in the world where college dropouts and fresh grads can raise millions of dollars, right, to try new things. There are also not many places in the world where you talk about technology 24/7 because that's where the majority of the workforce works. So being submerged in that environment did help a lot. But I think the inspiration and confidence really came from my time at Floodgate and investing in crazy entrepreneurs. We were investing seed, pre-seed, very similar to you actually, Yinglan, where you invest in entrepreneurs before anyone else believes. I think even in Southeast Asia, there are not many like that. And I think Insignia is one of the true ones who do that. Being at Floodgate and doing that multiple times, investing in entrepreneurs before anyone believed, it helped me see many different types of entrepreneurs walk through the doors, from young to old, very diverse race, every type of ideas you can think of. So having that repetition, having that experience really did help. On the flip side, especially towards my second year at Floodgate, I had my teammates at Floodgate pushing me out of the door to try something myself. I mean, that also was very inspirational and positive. Compared to Southeast Asia, which was your second question, I do see some similarities. I think it's a smaller ecosystem, growing ecosystem of entrepreneurs, of really impressive entrepreneurs in Southeast Asia trying to do really cool things. The problems that we face in Southeast Asia are local, so there does need to be a local community. You rarely see companies coming from international technology scenes coming into Southeast Asia being successful because the problem is very local. However, I think the drawback is it's still relatively small compared to other countries. I think, you know, as that community grows, as there's more support from folks like Insignia and more support for people to dream big, I think we'll get there.
Fantastic. Thanks for the kind words. And I think you have a fascinating journey, even though we are no strangers to VC professionals becoming founders and it's going to the other side of the equation. But why did you eventually decide to return to Southeast Asia and specifically Indonesia to run Shipper?
There are a few reasons. I'll name three specifically. The first reason is coming to Indonesia or Southeast Asia broadly. My family's from Southeast Asia. They're right around the corner in Bangkok. I spent a significant time here during my childhood. So that was definitely a push for me. But speaking of family, I think Budi Handoko, who's my partner on this journey to build Shipper, you know, I consider him family. And he was also a big push as well in that kind of family bucket. I see, you know, I had the support from my family, including Budi as well. People who I trust, people who I can really trust in embarking this journey. So that gave me the confidence in doing this. A second is, I think it's a world where a lot of impact can still be created. It's still so early in the emerging markets, and there's so much that technology can do. Even for many technology companies in more mature markets, the next billion users are right here. You know, they're not in the mature markets anymore. If you go to these big technology companies and ask, you know, where's your next source of revenue? It's the next billion users, Indonesia being a big part of that. And it's extremely difficult to crack. So I think it's important to be in the region to try to solve those problems. Third piece is going back to the ecosystem and support. Knowing that there was an ecosystem and there are folks like Insignia who supported entrepreneurs was a big draw for me. You know, I felt like there are always people who I can rely on and lean back and get support from if anything ever happened. And they had the same mission and vision as us in terms of building technology ecosystem. So I think those were the three big reasons. Yeah, I mean, it's been a great ride so far.
Then we have Marvin, who came from Tokopedia.
I joined Shipper in 2019. Beyond that, I was working in Tokopedia as an architect where I got exposed to logistics in the e-commerce industry. And one thing that got my interest was to see millions of package delivered every day across Indonesia. And the number has been still rapidly growing till today. And since then, I've always viewed that logistic industry is really compelling and mature that offers a tremendous potential upside. But having said that, the logistic has had its own challenges, which have not been easy to solve. And back then, the tech disruption in the logistics was very minimal. That left us a huge opportunity to craft technology solution to improve the overall logistic operations as well as to reduce the logistic costs. So with that in mind, I think that was a good time for me to start my journey in logistics. Mm-hmm. And then my friends introduced me to Phil, and finally, yeah, here I am.
Yeah, what was that first meeting like? What was the first impression? And yeah, how was it like?
Yeah, it was good. And Phil pitched a lot of things, and he shared his style about the logistics. And I think that makes sense because I handle logistics in Tokopedia. Right. I know numbers. So I think that's an opportunity for me. So yeah, my very first day was, I think, a fascinating experience, I would say, where I could work together with Budi, Phil, and the founding teams discussing about the problem we face. We gathered in a small room to tackle the problems with a limited amount of resources. And as far as I can remember, there was only less than 30 people in mm-hmm. which the 12 of them were the engineers who built the entire super software. Yeah, I worked closely with them by reviewing the code, patching some bugs, helped them deploy the app to the production. I think it's been interesting to see the detail of the common issues in Shipper and try to solve it one by one. I think that's something that I miss. I cannot do today, especially when we have more than 150 plus people in engineering worldwide.
2020 was a year that saw Shipper grow as an ecosystem amidst the pandemic, expanding business lines and making key acquisitions that also led to more key leadership additions to Shipper's management.
Yeah, I think in the early days of COVID-19, I mean, number one thing that we had to worry about was how is our team and our network partners impacted? So the first thing we did was we implemented everything we can think of to make sure our team and network partners are safe. Everything from medical equipment to, you know, changing working hours to changing manpower planning, everything there we implemented. And then next we started thinking about, you know, how would this impact the business? So we of course did everything we could to make sure the company had enough runway. I think that's the number one thing for a business to sustain, which is they have runway, which fortunately we were able to create for ourselves. And then the second piece was, how do you continue to grow? So for the how do you continue to grow part, you have to be open to trying new things. A lot of the trial and error has to come from the team. You know, it can't come top down, but it has to be bottom up. So I think we've been fortunate to create a culture where trial and error comes from bottom up. And we were able to come up with a few amazing ideas that has helped sustain the growth of the company. I mean, through COVID, we grew probably about 4 or 5x. And, you know, a lot of that is a result of new ideas, new revenue, new business opportunities, all within our infrastructure, though. Of course, we don't want to build new infrastructure, build new technology. So we weathered it well, and still a long period for us to kind of weather through. So we're still, you know, on the ground, remaining hustling and listening to our customers.
So I think part day was our, like, we trial on warehousing beforehand ourselves. And I think the challenge for that would be actually to have the know-how and also the software stack, that is the tech stack that we need to run that operations. And we, when we look at part day, we were working together at the beginning where we helped them with the shipping. Then we realized that, hey, we could actually work together tighter to actually do the fulfillment. We can see there's a lot of synergies in there. And I think that's how the conversation started. We actually met Pade's founders at the first time. It was through introduction that from the people that we met on the plane. I remember that. So that was quite, so I think it was destined to be for us to work together. And for Porter, we see that they're actually very strong in shipping. And because we're building the same thing, we're building shipping networks, agent networks. And instead of actually us building the same thing with two different companies trying, it's a waste of time and resource. And we thought, hey, we should just work together to build that agent network. We can save some time and actually win the market faster. Right. So I think that was the whole idea around the acquisition.
So I started another logistic tech startup called Porter. That's back in 2018. Our mission then was to widen access to logistic infrastructure in Indonesia. So we want to reach not just like, you know, the first tier cities, but until the remote areas, enabling them with proper logistic infrastructure. So we did that by decentralizing post office management to grow that mom and pop shop agents to 12K around Indonesia in just 1 year. So that's when I met Budi and Phil from Shipper in 2019. We've been talking a lot about how to digitize logistics in Indonesia. And finally, in 2020, So in February 2020, so exactly 2 years ago, we merged, basically Shipper acquired us. We joined forces and it was really the right timing because it's right before COVID. Exciting times. Yeah, so right before COVID, right timing, because virtually due to COVID, the demand for logistics increased significantly. So not only for e-commerce space, but also for enterprise and B2B space. I mean, I clicked with them right away because our vision is aligned. What we want to do is pretty much aligned. We share the same values as well for the company. So everyone at Shipper are very entrepreneurial and always pushing boundaries to innovate and contribute to the society. So that's how I joined Shipper.
Fast forward to 2023, Shipper has been establishing itself as a go-to supply chain partner for Indonesian businesses, enabling them to ride the various changes in the Indonesian commerce landscape, from the pandemic to inflation, from the country's maturing infrastructure to the entry of new players like TikTok Shop.
Our mission is to make supply chain accessible to everyone. Indonesia itself is a very entrepreneurial country. So as you know, we have 62 million SMEs, and they contribute slightly over 61% to Indonesia's total GDP. So that's a lot. So this is a big opportunity that we believe in. We want to make sure that we enable these millions of SMEs to grow and contribute more to Indonesian economic development. Especially during COVID days, this is especially important. And then they go digital. So this is where Shipper can help them the most to continue their operations, day-to-day operation, despite them stopping their offline business. Because we believe in the service that we offer to SME. This is something that can help them grow exponentially, especially during COVID time and even today. So we want to make sure that everyone knows us and they eventually use our service. So we are a tech-enabled business. And as we all know, historically, logistics had a very conventional and complex business processes. It's also very expensive to have a robust logistics infrastructure. So this is a luxury that only big businesses can have. So usually the enterprise would have multiple warehouses across Indonesia or really reliable partners across Indonesia. Again, this is a luxury that only big businesses have. So what we do at Shipper, we aim to make sense of these complexities and implement technology to streamline the process and makes it easier to any business owner to access the robust supply chain infrastructure that wasn't available to them before. So it is to them now. Shipper itself, we partner with the big logistics 3PL companies in Indonesia. So the major ones already connected to our API. We also work with hundreds of transporter partners, and we currently manage over 300 warehouses across Indonesia. So these are the supply chain network that all the small SMEs can tap into and use to grow their business. So yeah, we believe in our service, in our business model, and hopefully SMEs can grow with us as well. And that's our message. We're their partner to grow.
Historically, building domestic brands and growing domestic brands was difficult because manufacturing and local supply chain capabilities were not so strong in Indonesia. But I think over the last few years, there has been a lot of investment and a lot of push from regulation to get local manufacturing and supply chain capabilities up. So you see a lot of customers and businesses beginning to set up assembly lines, beginning to set up local manufacturing capabilities. And one of our most recent customers is going to set up a large phone case manufacturing plant to do all the phone cases domestically rather than import from China. So I think number one is, I think we'll continue to see a lot of rise of brands that manufacture and build their supply chain domestically. Second is, there is, over the last 12 months, there has been a rise in or an influx of brands coming in from overseas, with especially the entrance of TikTok. So with the entrance of TikTok, the ROI on selling online on that specific channel, at least when they were still live over the past 12 to 18 months, was quite competitive. While the ROI on selling in other markets or selling on other channels domestically were not growing as well. And as a result, folks who knew how to sell on TikTok, majority coming in from China, quickly all came in at the same time and started leveraging their ability to sell on TikTok and grow with TikTok. So we saw a huge influx of sellers over the last 12, 18 months who knew how to do that type of business really well, come in and do well really quickly. So, you know, those are the two kind of seller trends that we've seen that has helped our business do well and think about our business differently over the last 12 to 18 months. In terms of how our business helps these brands, essentially the way we think about it is, we want to help our customers to lower down the barriers to entry to build a brand and build their business. And the way we think about it is it makes competition for our customers' competitor, it makes their life harder. So, you know, our goal is to continue to do that. We want to continue to lower down the barriers of entry for these businesses. We help them to drop down their fulfillment costs from something that they had to invest in large CapEx before to something that they can pay per unit and come in and start on day one. So, you know, it's our entrepreneurship package. And we help them to continue to grow and optimize their supply chain. And some of the biggest customers that we work with, the largest shoe brand, the largest F&B brand, the largest paper brand, some of these are some of the largest companies who we help to digitize their supply chain and help them to optimize their logistics. Our goal is to make it as easy as starting within a week so that any entrepreneur can start a brand today. And we want to be there and continue to grow with them as they grow.
Ultimately, Shipper is not just maturing their own company, but also maturing the way businesses do logistics and entrepreneurs think about their supply chain.
The biggest opportunity is what we spend our time thinking about, which is inventory management. On average, when we take over our customers' inventory to help them with their fulfillment and logistics, about 20 to 30% of the information that they give us is wrong or the products are lost. And then another 10 to 20% of inventory is just stuck. Immediately, almost 50% of our customers' inventory is not creating value for their business. So for us, the most important thing is how do we make that 50% of inventory create value for our customers? I think number one is don't do it yourself. Use a third party. If you guys want to enter Indonesia or Thailand, call us. Let us know. We're here to help and we're here to serve. I think second is where I see some of our customers get hurt is around how they concentrated their supply chain on imported products only, especially in the recent days or recent last couple of months. I've seen a few businesses, you know, go from a lot to very little overnight because of that. And I guess from a brand owner's perspective, you are not thinking too much about how do you de-risk your supply chain, but you're constantly thinking about how to sell more. But I think there's something around de-risking the concentration on your supply chain so that you have different suppliers, different ways to get products in case of rainy day or in case of any regulatory changes.
Thank you for joining us on this call. Make sure you get notified on when to dial in by following us wherever you're listening to us. If you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, toss in a like, and let us know if you'd like to hear more of this topic in the comments. See you all in our next call.
One interesting thing in my journey. So in the first 3 years, we're about a five-year-old company going to six. In my first 3 years building Shipper, I didn't get a lot of time to exercise. So I started to get really big. And I like to keep active. So what I used to do to keep myself active was go to the warehouse for free gym sessions, which basically meant move boxes in the warehouse and out of the warehouse. That kept my fitness level at peak. I'd say that's probably one of the hardest work that you can imagine. Harder than today. I'm getting old and I can barely run up and down the basketball court, but you know, it's a lot harder than running up and down the basketball court. I really appreciate all the folks that we work with on the ground who do that day in and day out.